Now, on that topic, I'll talk about the Raglan for a little bit. What exactly does it get to? I want to show you. So this is a yid up in New York named Ramesh Sharnam, and he's a very nice malakit. A lot of them are beautiful. You know, he goes through some of the approaches to the chet of the Raglan. So he says the Darash Marsha, that's where Marsha Feinstein says the problem is, like, you know, Chazal said these people were the Raman says they were listed according. It should be according to the Madrega. So it's a mind-boggling statement if you realize that Yeshua was number 5 in the list. Mm-hmm. So before these people were saying we're on a level of Torah stature greater than Yeshua. And they ended up being the Raglan. Like, what went wrong? Yeah. So Ramosha says that the challenge which Klaisa was, which the Meraglim and Klaisa, which was responding to it, is the famous word that they say that Rosh Hashivchal Yam Mashal Roya Chesam and Busi. But when a Shivcha saw on the Yam, she saw a greater vision of Merkava than the Nabi Yechezkel. So the famous word from Rukhan Shalom says that the Rukhan Shalom says, but she remained the Shivcha. And Yerichas Kambuzi was a Navi. He said, what's the pshad? He says, that which you don't work on, it's just given to you as a present, doesn't stick. So she had this wonderful vision. But when the vision's gone, you're still Shifcha. The Navi Yerichaskel was a person who worked on himself to become a Navi. So that's his. Now that was the point that he said. So Ramosha takes that same idea, and he says over here that, you know, Klaisa was given a tremendous amount, you know, they were given through the Nisim that they experienced, etc., a level of clarity and understanding which was given to them. But they didn't work on it. So when the chips are down, you don't hold on to that. Right? The Voida is to get that clarity and then to build it up in your own strength to the point that the Chacham says that a person's going through the forest and it's dark and it's dreary and he can't see, he doesn't know where he's going, etc. Also there's a flash of lightning, right? So you have two choices. If you look at the lightning, it's gorgeous, like, but the lightning, you look up at the lightning, etc., it's beautiful, but the lightning's gone, you're still in the dark. But when the lightning flashes, you look down at the path and say, where do I need to go with that view? Then when the lightning goes away, you know where to go. So the challenge we have these moments of inspiration, and they raise you up and they inspire you, etc. So if you don't use that to say, okay, it's going to go away, I know that, it's not going to last. If I don't find some way to use that clarity, that moment, to create a path for me on my down on the earth, in my low level that I am, when the inspiration is gone, I'm as confused as I was before. So that's how he understands the time of the Meraglim, was that, you know, the Klai Yisrael in general, but the Meraglim, you know, specifically, was that they had reached tremendous madregas, but it wasn't through their own effort. They didn't translate into working on themselves. So then when they went to Eretz Yisrael, Sfas Emes is a fascinating thing. He also brings the piece of Sfas Emes says that we know that there's Yedia Bechira. You know, I'm not going to answer the question. Yedia Bechira is a very challenging thing. Right? Man has Bechira, but what happens is what the Kodesh Baruch Hu ordained is supposed to happen. So how does that fit? So was other regions supposed to eat from the case, die or not? Well, it's hard, man of these thoughts supposed to die. Each man said, ah, it's not supposed to die. So you had Bechira. Means it's possibly wasn't supposed to die, but means the Bershom didn't know what's supposed to happen. Like, the Bershom was like, wow, didn't expect that. Right? Everything happened because that's what Bershom wanted to happen. So it means, he didn't do an Avera. Right. That's the Kasha, that's the famous Kasha Yedei Bechira. I'm not answering the question. But that's a reality. So someone else Sasemis says, Kaisel stayed in the Midbar for 40 years. It means they're supposed to leave in the Midbar for 40 years. Right?
Right.
So what's this Nisoyan that they're being sent for? The reality is that they were not ready for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was not ready for them. It was Eretz Canaan, that's the Pasuk says, because it wasn't Eretz Yisrael yet. There's another 40 years which are necessary to get them to that point. Right. So what's this Nisoyan? The Nisoyan was that if they had went in and had the clarity of Emunah to say, you know, this land doesn't look right, but I trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to go in means when I go in it'll work out, it'll be fine. If they had been able to hold on to that, that itself would have created the reality that they're able to go in. Because they went to Eretz Yisrael and they saw that land wasn't ready. It didn't, the Kedusha wasn't what it was supposed to be. The Eretz Yisrael, these words were true. So the Rosh was saying, listen, I want you to go into a land. Sosebus learns. When they came back, they reported nothing which is not true. But so what was the Nisoyan? What did they do wrong? But the Rosh said, go. Means, so I have two choices what to believe. I have three choices, right? The Rosh said, go into the land. I go to the land which we see people dying left and right. So, okay, the Rosh wants us to go into the land. We're all supposed to die. Not very happy thought process. Right? That the Rosh wants to go into the land and we will live. Even though everybody's dying, but we will live. Things will change when we get there. Or, I don't want to go, because we're all going to die. Right? The right answer was number two. The Rosh Hashanah said go means that even though what you see now is the reality, and they were on a madrig enough to perceive that this was the real reality, they also had to have the Munah that is going to be different when they go into Eretz Yisrael. That itself would have generated the schus they can go into Eretz Yisrael, if they would have had that Munah. But they didn't have that Munah. Mainly they couldn't go until the process took another 40 years for it to work. So the reality was that unless they would work on themselves when the chips are down, it doesn't make any sense. You know, the clarity of understanding the Munah when you see the heavens opened up is a little bit easier than when, you know, you see Eretz Yisrael Yisrael. That's where Moshe says the approach is. Now he points out over here that he brings over here in the footnote that from the Rambam is before that actually the Shifka actually became not a non, you know, she was raised up to a higher madriga, not like this, not like Rav Chaim Shalevitz. So it's a nice deed for the Rambam not being involved in that. The next approach I don't want to get involved in. Okay. So you see from in Parshas Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu complains about the fact that everybody came to him demanding the miraglim, etc. Like, why is that important to stress that whole point? Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting the story of the miraglim. It's fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu's recount of it is quite different than the story you get from Shlach. Mm-hmm. Like he talks very much about the introduction about how much they pressure, they want to go, we want to see, we want to know. I said, don't worry about it. They said, no, we want to, yeah. And then they went, and they came back, bad report, and everything. Like the whole part of the story, they went, they spent all this time. All that part is like out, you know. He says, the Taina on Klal Yisrael, which set up the Meraglim for the mistake, was the fact that they made this demand. In other words, He brings a mashal over here. Where is the mashal? Okay. Where is... That's on page Shin Pei Gimel. He brings a mashal from Chaskel Abramsky. He says, so imagine that they have this chepitz, you have this item which is 100 meters away. And I have very good eyesight, and I can really read details and see things at 100 meters away. Right? So I can see that. I see the item. In my eyesight, I see that it's there, etc. The other person has very weak eyesight, and he can't see 100 meters away, and it blends into the background. She doesn't see the item at all. So there's four people standing there. One person can see 20 meters, one person can see 50 meters, one person can see 99 meters, one person can see 100 meters. So, how do you think it works? He sees 20%, he sees 50%, he sees 99%, he sees 100%? No, he doesn't see anything. Because he can't see that far. He doesn't see anything, he doesn't see that far. And he doesn't see anything either, because he can't see that far. So imagine the guy who could see 100 meters, says, I'm telling you, there's this item, and says, yeah, I think differently, I have the right opinion, I write my opinion, you know, like, what does that mean? So there was, he brings a ma'isa with Rabshach. Rabshach went to they had a meeting of the Muetzes, and Rabshach brought in that the stipler said that this is what we should do. So somebody over there said, but we want to discuss it, so we might be able to come to a different decision. Rabshach said, I'm leaving. He says, if you don't have the clarity to understand that with the stipler's vision and understanding of the world is better than yours, to the point that you're not a mandomer to have a different opinion, I don't want to belong to this group. So what do you mean you're going to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, like Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't chop, that's a good idea. Right? He didn't chop what you're supposed to do. And we have a manig, which has been anointed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, Bershom made him. The Rambam's Lashon Fesil, the Rambam used the Lashon, he doesn't bring this point, but the Rambam used the Lashon, Osa Moshe Ushlochai. Moshe Rabbeinu was created differently than the average human being. The Meshach Chokhmah has a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu, says, when the Bershom said by Yisrael, we will gamach yamin al-oilam, so it means Moshe Rabbeinu could no longer, he was limited in what he could do wrong. Because if we do a certain chatoim, we can't trust him anymore. And the Bershom promised, we will trust in you forever. So that promise means, when the Bershom said that, means the Bershom made Moshe Rabbeinu is not the same as everybody else. He cannot do chait. He is very limited in his scope of what he can do wrong. Otherwise, he would lose that avtacha. So once that was nikven to the reality of the Bria, Moshe Rabbeinu was a mukhrach. So you have a person who's like existing in a totally different plane than you. And here's another person saying, you know, we don't need this. He says, but yeah, we decided we do. That was the root of the problem. That's why the Parsha of Devarim makes a major push out of that. If you have a guide, let him guide. When you tell your guide what to do, you don't have a guide anymore. I once had a mice in Tells. A person came to me. I said, tell you this, mice. Right?
I don't know until you tell me.
The mice.
I'm happy to hear it again.
So we have this. Yigman Carla was learning with a person about Shuva. In those days, all that was available was the Stein's Alice Gemaras. That was the only Gemara which was like helping. The Arsul didn't exist. And Sita was like very hard. It was like very, very little in the way of help. He had a lot of nice things in the painting section. That was when, you know, Rashad came out against Stein's Alice. He felt that there were certain parts of what he was doing are, you know, wrong. He made a strong push against it. So this young man said to this Baal Bas, you know, we need to ask the Shiloh whether you're allowed to continue using this Gemara. He says, no, I don't ask. He might say, no, I can't use it anymore. So they decided they're going to come to me, so I should be like the...
To you?
The Mispasher, whether they should go through a gift or not. So they came to me and they asked me, what do I think a gifter would say? And I said, I have no idea. And the only way I can know what a gifter say, I would be a gifter. I'm not a gifter, so I'm not going to try and predict. Well, you're very close to him. It's just that's ridiculous. I don't have his vision. How can I predict what he's going to say? Right? So, now a gifter is very close to Rashach. And a gifter agreed to Rashach's points about, you know, they went through a gifter, they pushed him, he says, gas for Shiva. She says, I'm vandals with the sign charts. You know, of course you should use it. I and Rashiva got up and said a shmooze the day before about, you know, it's different things. Right. I had a maisa once. I had a bala bus. Someone should look in. Shouldn't record this, but so he was coming to my Gemara shir, and I push him up to the next shir, but he didn't want to go to the next shir because the rabbi of the next shir was like to eat balabatim for lunch. I was more gentle. So he was he dropped out of all the shir. We used to have the shir for a night call for learning balabatim. So I met him like months later, and I said, you know, his name is Eddie. He said, Eddie, like, what's going on with, like, you know, the learning? He says, you know, he says the art school had just started publishing the Gemaras. So the first Gemara was Erevin. I think the first one I met was Erevin. So he says, I bought an Erevin Gemara from art school, and I read it every day. I read through all the footnotes. It says, I hear your voice. As a really put it, I hear your voice like saying over those thoughts, explaining the Gemara. So I said to him, you know, but it says in the introduction, it doesn't replace a real Rebbe. So he says to me, that's what they say, but it's not true.
You have to say that to get accepted. And
okay. So, I didn't have a major comeback to that one. I was more like stunned. So I went to her gift afterwards. I said, asked her, what how to react to this. He says, he's right. That where he's holding in his level of learning, the Gemara is equivalent to what he'll get from a Rebbe. He'll go through all the Shas with our school and realize how much he doesn't know and how much he needs a Rebbe. So now he's so far removed from the reality of understanding what learning is, he doesn't understand the nuances why a Rebbe adds something what the footnotes can't give him. Rashima's vision was the Rashima was one who gave the Haskama on the whole idea of the translation of Gemara was a gifters on gifters places. Rashach came out what was against it.
Oh, really?
Specifically for art school?
Art school, yeah. Right. The whole idea that they should have such a project, etc. Rashach was against it. He felt that you can't really translate it properly, and it's going to water down Torah in a way which is not acceptable. And they already put the thing in motion, and then Rashach, sent this message. And they went to her gifter. Nelson Sherman and Reuters Lanowitz went to her gifter. What do we do? The Rashiva said, I'll take care of it. And he wrote a letter to Rashach. He says, I hold this a good idea. Mm-hmm. So Rashach wrote back. He says, you're the Moradara in America. And you have a right to say whatever you say. I feel it's wrong. I won't come out against it because you said it's okay. But it's on your places. Mm-hmm. So Art Scroll understood that this whole project was all, but the gift would not have made that stand; it would never happen.
Wow!
Right, but that introduction was put in by Rashid told him to put in that introduction, and here he's telling me that the introduction is not right. The Rashid wasn't predictable, because he was seeing it from a different plane. He's saying, for this individual right now, this is what he needs to hear. This is the right answer for him. The overall picture you have to somebody is this. So trying to predict who I can't see the world from the same way he saw the world. So why should I? How can I predict? I told somebody asked, but I sat in Tel Aviv for a few years, a few years, it was already can't move there, I was 37. Somebody's like, when are you going to move already? Get out into the real world, So I said to him, I said, listen, every time something happens in Klai Yisrael, so I have my opinions, what the message is, and what lesson I'm supposed to take out of it, etc. Then I go and hear a shmuz from the Rosh Hashiva, and it gives me a totally different perspective. As long as that's what's going to happen, I shouldn't leave. Because I still want, I realize I need more, there's more I should learn. When I get to the point where I see it, and say, I hit it on the nail on the head, so then I'm ready to go. But till then, why would I want to leave? Right. So tell me where he kicked me out. It's like the mother kicks the kid, the bird,
30-year-old boy,
the baby out of the nest, like the mother bird.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like. But,
you were 37. I thought you were older than 37 when you left.
No, 37. I was a young guy. 37. I was at Tells for 23 years. From 14 to 37. So, that's what he says. So, Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at the world and saying, nah, it's not a good idea. The Christ was coming saying, it's a good idea. You're not getting it. You're not getting it that there's a whole other layer of reality of understanding that he could offer you instead of coming and saying, Moshe, what should we do? Because you see better than me. What's out there? Right? They're coming and giving him advice. And not only giving advice, they're so into it that, because I'll say that the young people are pushing, the older people, forcing it down Rosh Rabbeinu's throat. So that was the root of the head. That's what he suggests. He brings a mice over here with a Moshe from Chrysler, and we'll end the plate. Chrysler says, you had these forts. The forts are very, very fortified, that's what they call forts, right? And they could stand a large amount of attack, but if it's a sudden attack was very difficult, even for a fort. So they make a tower, And the purpose of the tower is that the guy can see by being higher up, he can see quite a distance. Now down below, there's also cracks through the fort you're able to shoot from and see out of, etc. Says the guy in the tower says, you know, I'm seeing that there's an issue down in the distance. Yeah, I don't see anything. It's fine to me. Right? Like, that's ridiculous. So he says, this is mamash, the Chazal say, ani chaymo, v'shadai ki migdolos. So Chazal say, ani chaymo is terror, v'shadai ki migdolos, el tamin chachamim. Those which are mured, they give the milk to Klal Yisrael, the Shadayim, are like towers. They're the towers. They have a clarity of vision which is above what you see. So he comes and says, you know, I tell you this is what you do. He says, I'm a hesitant, I think differently. Like we have this problem all the time, right? That you know, so that's the muscle that he muscle that he uses to imagine that pasuk. I think it's a very, very powerful. It's a problem. I mean, it is a problem because I had a mice here with a bakr. I'll tell you a mice. So there's a bakr here in the yeshiva, which I felt he was being too much influenced by reading secular literature, etc. So listen, what you want to do, but right now, to get out of the yeshiva, what the yeshiva is offering you, you need to put the stuff aside and focus. No, Rebbe, I can't give it up. It's you know, I enjoy it so much. It expands my mind. I said, so I told him, the Mishnah Sharma says a mashal about something called the Ganam Avucha, a maze. So they used to make these mazes. There was a pavilion in the middle, which was raised up. And the people in the pavilion could see the whole maze. And people going through the maze just saw the maze. So imagine you're on the pavilion, and the pavilion is raised up. And the fellow in the pavilion says, make a right! And I said, looks the same to me. I'm going to make a left. Says, that's your choice. You can listen to him or not. Don't listen to him. You know, right? But he's on a higher plane. He already finished the whole process. He could see everything. And he says, this is a good idea to make it right. It makes sense to listen to him. He says, but when you're in the trenches, they all look the same. When you're in the maze itself, it all looks the same. So I'm telling you, from my vantage point, it's not the same. He went one summer, he went to Russia to one of these camps they were making for kids. And he spent like 6 weeks there. And the 6 weeks he spent over there, it was in, you know, some village or some farmland in the middle of nowhere in Russia. There was no news. There was no radio. There was no TV. There was no magazine. There was no newspaper. There was nothing. But what they had brought with them, the swarm they brought with them and the kids. And he spent 6 weeks totally out of touch with anything secular. He came back and says, Rebbe, I get it. So now that I went down the other road, I see that the roads are not the same. But when I'm in this road, they look the same to me. I said, I wish you would listen to me and trust me that I'm telling you that they're not the same when they look the same to you. But that's a very hard challenge because they look exactly the same to me. Why should I believe you? I'm telling you they're not the same. So I said, you know, you're right. When you go to the doctor says, you know, this pill is good for you. This pill, they're both little white pills, you know, like, you know, it's the same to me. That's ridiculous. The answer is we understand the doctor is an expert in medicine because medicine is medicine. And what I know about medicine. But life, psychology, skill, I know as much as the rabbi. Like, my opinion is as good as his. Right? We're all experts. Right? That's what a rabbi has, like, you know. That was what was it? Was Ben Gurion's line? Who said the line about him and Truman? Yeah, about, you know, Ben Gurion said it's very hard, you know, leading the Israelis to being the prime minister of the Israelis. He says there's a million Israelis. He says, and I have, you know, what America had in those days, 50 million people, 100 million people. He says, no. You're president over 50 million people. He says, I'm a prime minister over 1 million prime ministers. Like everybody in Israel has their own opinion about why the country should be run, right? You know, that's Jews. You know, we're Baruch Hashem. We're like we're contentious, and we're, you know. So this is our biggest disoyan. The Chiddush Rebbe said that Kaiser did not ask what Maksivba, right? The Russian brought the Torah to Adam. Says Maksivba. Says Lo Sirtzav. I'm not interested. So Yishmael Lo Sinav. We're not interested. If Kaiser would have asked Maksivba, What would the Rosh Hashanah have tested them with? Right? The Rosh Hashanah tested Adam, okay? He's going to say, Lord Sitzah, can you handle that? No, I can't handle that.
Anochi Hashem.
Anochi Hashem. That's what the Chushurim said. This is, I'm the boss. The Rosh Hashanah, I'm the boss. Every Jew says, I'm the boss. This is, I'm not interested. That's what Rosh Hashanah didn't ask. It's an awesome issue when we got the Torah. But we would have asked. That's what we would have been tested with. Right? So that you have Moshe Rabbeinu representing the wisdom of the Torah. And like, what are you doing? And mainly everything was downhill from there. Okay.